Now, the worship service of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Pastor Keith Griswold. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to be here today for worship. We want to start out by welcoming our new organist and accompanist this morning, Alan.
Just a great joy that I've been called to serve you folks here in music ministry. So thank you to Pastor Keith. Thank you to Linda. It's been a very positive and very spirit-led experience so far. So thank you to y'all.
And remember, following service, we're going to have a reception to greet him downstairs so you can introduce yourself to him. With announcements. I will be out of town on Wednesday, and I'll be back Monday, a week from tomorrow night. I'm going to be out in the Seattle area for continuing education. While I am gone, Mary Martin is available for pastoral emergency from Wednesday until Monday. And Mary's phone number and information is in the church membership directory. Other announcements.
In connection with the dinners, Jackie Tickner has gift cards if you're interested in getting them for the dinner and giving them, gifting them to somebody. So see Jackie. Thank you.
Next Sunday, we're going to have to meet an hour earlier because we're going to spring forward as well.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, next week is Sunday is time change. So as I think about it, I might make it home Monday. I won't know what time it is. I see no other hands going up, so I'm going to ask Bobby to come over and get us ready to go online. And so we can begin our service. We're going to welcome those who do gather online and those who are on the radio. And I would ask all of you to please join with me as we come before God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join me in a call to worship. Who does God call to his service?
God calls the foolish and the weak.
Why did God call the foolish and the weak?
God called them so that everyone could see the power of God working through them.
And why did God send Jesus to us?
God sent Jesus to make us wise, acceptable, and holy.
If we have anything to brag or boast about, what should it be?
We should boast about how wonderful God's love and mercy is, and we have received it.
Please turn in your hymnals to When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Save in the death of Christ, my
scripture lesson this morning is from 1 Corinthians, written by Paul to the church of Corinth and the Christians everywhere. The Christians in Corinth were struggling with their environment. Surrounded by corruption and every conceivable sin, they felt the pressure to adopt. They knew they were free in Christ, but what did freedom mean? These were more than theoretical questions. The church was being undermined by spiritual immaturity. Paul heard their struggles and wrote this letter to address their problems, heal their divisions, and answer their questions. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believed. Jews demanded signs and Greeks looked for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and the foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. God's word for God's people. Praise be to God.
All alone.
want to start out this morning highlighting a phrase that was in the middle of the reading. In almost every Bible translation, the phrase that is used in English is stumbling block, which is something I think all of us are familiar with. It's that thing that trips us up. However, in the Greek, Paul's word also means something much more intense. The Greek word could also be translated as scandal or offensive. The verse I'm referring to says, "We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." But it could also be translated this way: "We preach Christ crucified, a scandal to Jews and foolishness to Greeks." Now just stop and think about what we would consider to be a scandal today. Then again, thinking about our society, there's probably not much that would scandalize us. But let me try to set the stage of where Paul is going here and what he's writing about. I want you to imagine this. How would you feel? Think about how you're going to feel. What would you be thinking if I told you that the greatest man who has ever lived, the greatest moral teacher in human history, had been executed in the electric chair? What would be your reaction? Would you think I was foolish? I mean, we all know who gets executed in the chair. People who are found guilty of major crimes. You very well may be questioning me over saying that this person was a great moral teacher. But back in Paul's day in the Roman Empire, a man could be executed, in other words, mostly crucified, for being a thief as well as a murderer, or for being seen as a threat to Roman rule. No matter what it was for, people would know that the man who was crucified was a criminal. And for the Jewish people who had been waiting for a Messiah to come and rescue them from oppression, a crucified Messiah is not just a criminal, he's a loser. He is a failure. And that is the kind of scandal Paul is talking about when he says, "We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block, a scandal, and foolishness." So I want you to keep this idea of a scandal in the back of your minds as we look at this passage from 1 Corinthians. The section that Don read for us here is Paul's elaboration on the previous sentence, which we did not read. It's verse 17, and this is what Paul had said there. "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." Paul is preaching about the cross of Christ. And it isn't just Paul's preaching, it is the preaching of the New Testament church. We hear this in Peter's first sermon ever given on the day of Pentecost. He says there, "God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." And in the letter here, Paul is now going to elaborate on what it means to believe in the scandal and the foolishness of the cross. Paul is going to challenge his readers on how do we live as the church, the body of Christ? How do we live as those who are following a crucified Jesus? Over in another New Testament letter, Ephesians, it says this: "So Christ gave himself the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, teachers," and here's the key thing, "to equip his people for works of service." As followers of Jesus, we have been called to be in ministry to those who are around us, both here in the church and in the world around us. We are to be in service. We are to be proclaiming in our words and in our actions the wisdom and the power of God that has been revealed in Jesus, the crucified Messiah. Paul's elaboration says this: "We preach Christ crucified, Christ the power of God, the wisdom of God." Now, as Christians, we believe God is in Jesus, the crucified Messiah, reconciling us
back to God's self. Jesus is also now in us, his church, and Jesus is continuing that ministry through us. That means, as followers of Jesus, we are part of God's foolish power and God's foolish wisdom. Something to get what Paul says here. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. It is because of him, God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. From God in Christ, that is who we are. That is now what we are, where we are, and why we are. When we are in Jesus, we are in the body of Christ, the church. And that is how God is now making his appeal to the world. Last week I mentioned that we need to grow, that we need to develop in our relationship with Jesus. And today I want us to consider what Paul says here that can help us do that. And the first thing I would suggest is we need a life of prayer. Paul doesn't talk about prayer in this section, but in the opening of the letter, he says a prayer for the people. I always thank my God for you because of God's grace given you in Christ Jesus. He begins with this prayer for his readers, and he is always praying for them. In our life in Christ, we are to always be living a life of prayer. Now, that doesn't mean we go around all the time with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You can certainly try to pray like that. I wouldn't suggest it while you're driving. But we use those actions to focus ourselves on God. But there are many ways that we can pray, and each of us are going to find a different way, a different method that will help us. During our lives, during our activities, at work, with our family, the running around that we do, all of that can overwhelm us in finding time to pray. But you see, that's when we probably need prayer the most. And we need time to focus on God, to talk with God and to listen to God about those stresses. And as God's people in the church, we need to be rooted and grounded in Jesus. That's how we are from God in Christ. As I say, there's many ways for us to pray. For some people, praying the Psalms might work. Just take one of the Psalms and read it as your prayer to God. Or you can pray a prayer that the Eastern Orthodox tradition has prayed now for over 1,500 years. It was started by the ancient desert monks, and it's known as the Jesus Prayer. And it's real simple. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And what these monks would do while they were doing their daily work, they would just repeat that to themselves in their head over and over again until it came as automatic as their breathing. The important thing is we need to take time every day to pray, to stay in touch with God. Along with prayer, there is a life of wisdom that we need to live. Paul says this, Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. To be in Christ, we need to be living in God's wisdom. We need to live in righteousness, which comes from being in a right relationship with God. We need to be living in holiness, which transforms us and makes us like Jesus. We need to be redeemed, to have our sins forgiven and to have freedom in Christ. Living in wisdom from God through Christ means that every day we need to be doing what the prophet Micah said to do. We need to walk humbly with God. Those three things that Paul says are God's wisdom, righteousness, holiness, and redemption are only received when we humble ourselves and walk with God as revealed in Jesus. See, that's why one of the key reasons we need to be in prayer daily, because we can't walk with God. We can't become like Jesus on our own. This might not be the greatest analogy about becoming like Jesus, but I think becoming like Jesus is like what happens to a petrified rock. Well, a petrified rock was once a tree that has turned into a stone. Tree falls over. All of the organic material that was in that tree is replaced by minerals. The process begins when wood is buried under sediment and it's preserved due to the lack of oxygen. And as mineral-rich water flows in and around this fallen tree, the minerals are deposited into the plant cell and the plant cell decays, but the stone is formed in its place. And it's a stone that was once a tree. And it still looks like that tree, but it's stone. Spiritually, holiness is the process of us dying to ourself and coming alive in Jesus. We need to have the Holy Spirit flowing in us and through us so our self-centeredness decays and we take on the nature of Jesus. And last thing is, we need to remember what all of this is for. Why is this happening? Why do we want it? Paul says, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. As followers of Jesus, those who are in his body, the church, our calling is always for the sake of the mission of God that's revealed in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. We are to speak God's wise foolishness. We are to act in God's weak strength. We are to be an upside-down people, at least from the world's perspective. But from God's perspective, we're living the right way up. We are to be people whose lives are from God in Christ. And as such, we keep pointing to the crucified Messiah, the power and the wisdom of God. And in the process, we invite others to come along and follow Jesus. Prayer and holiness rooted us in Christ. They unite us to Jesus, and they unite us to one another so that we can be the body of Christ, the church. And we show the world a different kind of power and glory, one that is scandalous, as we proclaim in our willingness to be humble and walk with God in Christ, walk towards the cross. This week and in the remaining time of Lent, I would ask you to be in prayer. Be in prayer about how you can proclaim the scandal of God's power and God's wisdom in a crucified Messiah. Amen. I'm going to ask, take your hymnal to do Beneath the Cross of Jesus.
go now. Go in the power and the wisdom of God that has been revealed to us in the cross of Christ. Take that power and wisdom and show it into the world. Go now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to the 10 a.m. service from the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays or in person at 10 a.m. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.
The Avon United Methodist Church presents their annual Lenten Fish Dinner this Friday, 4:30 to 7 p.m. Enjoy baked or batter-fried haddock, plus hot dogs for the kids. Takeouts are available.